All right, Perakov Gimel Pasuk Aleph, everybody. Now, Bilam goes up to Balak. This is after Bilam is already by Balak. Vayomer Bilam Balak. B'nei li v'zeh shivim izbechos. I want to be built for me 7 different altars. V'hachin li v'zeh shiva parim v'shiva elim. And I want you to prepare for me 7 bulls and 7 rams. So obviously he's doing this for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why in the world would Bilam think that sacrificing to the Jewish God was going to work for him? That doesn't make any sense. Obviously he had his own gods, he had his own things that he believed in, even though he was a Navi, and even though he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for sure Balak had his own gods. Why would dealing with the Jewish God, with the Jews we're already sacrificing to, why in the world would that work? What was the point of that? Targum Yonason says a simple answer. Bilam was able to see through his magics that these people were committing avodah zarah. They were all worshipping idols. They were involved in idol worship while they were there. We know about Pesel Micha, but there were other idols that the people were involved with, like Shevet Dan, etc. And it was an auspicious time. If he'd get involved right then, this was the time for him to take advantage of that, cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be angry at him because of that, and happy with Bilam. So Bilam and Balak took advantage of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're sacrificing to you. We're willing to do something to you. What about the Jews themselves? But he didn't know the following. He didn't know that this wasn't all of the Jews. It was only some of the Jews. There's a concept called Arvus, where we're all responsible for one another. But Arvus only applied when they went into Eretz Yisrael. It didn't apply yet when they were outside of Eretz Yisrael, when they weren't there yet. When they weren't there yet, before they got to Eretz Canaan, it didn't matter that some people were worshipping idols. It wouldn't look bad on the rest of the people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't destroy all the Jews unless all of them were worshipping avodah zarah, which certainly was not the case whatsoever. That's the Targum Yonason, that's based on that. The Balator and the Rabbeinu Ephraim say the number of animals that he brought, 7 and 7, is the same number brought by Eov at the end of Sefer Eov when he wanted to give a kapara for what he had done wrong. Says the Balaturim, it seems that this is a mitzvah by all the B'nai Noach, by any non-Jew. The minhag was to bring 7 animals as a zecher to their Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. We have Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, they bring 7 animals because of it. Clearly he understands that, Noach, first of all, that Eov was a non-Jew. But his understanding is that the 7 represented what they were, and maybe it's understood along with the Targum Yonason. The non-Jews are saying, we're keeping the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. What about the Jews? We're making sure not to do avodah zarah mamish. What about the Jews themselves? Why wouldn't they be affected by that? And therefore, you should listen to us more than them. That's the idea of what the 7 was. The Chassam Sofer says it can't be. Bilam looked at the people later and says, Lo hibit oven b'Yaakov. He didn't see anything wrong with Yaakov. There was nothing wrong with them. Lo hibit oven b'Yaakov means there was no avodah zarah by them. They didn't have any sins. So how could Bilam say there's no sins by Klal Yisrael when over here we're saying there were sins by Klal Yisrael? There were people that were affected by it. And there were people that were worshipping avodah zarah. What do we say? And the pshat is like this. There's a concept called shituf. Shituf means partnering up in which you believe in God and you believe in avodah zarah. You believe that idol worship is real, but you also believe that it's a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called shituf. The Jews never believed in avodah zarah mamish. They believed in shita, they believed in God, and that this idol represented something about them. So here's the pshat. Lo hibit oven b'Yaakov. They didn't see anything that was totally wrong with Klal Yisrael, because although shituf is usur, it's not like they rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Hashem Elokav Imo, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still with them, they saw a certain thing, they understood that somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still with them during that time. The Chassam Sofer says that's the answer. Were they doing something wrong? Certainly. But they didn't realize what they were doing wrong or how they were doing it wrong. They thought that Shituf was still okay. Mali Omer says the 14 represents all the Shvatim in Klal Yisrael. I know, guys, there's 12 Shvatim in Klal Yisrael. But Yosef is split up into 2, into Ephraim and Menashe. And so, sort of, you could say there was Yosef, all of his other kids, and then Ephraim and Menashe added on to the actual 12 Shvatim. So the 14 Korbanos he brought was for all 14 of them. A really weird Malei Omer. He says he wanted to take away the schus of 100 brachos a day. He says par ve'ayil is the gematria of 327, the same gematria as kuf brachos. Now the weird thing about this is that David HaMelech instituted 100 brachos a day. That wasn't instituted by the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. It sounds like, according to this Malei Aroim, that they were still doing 100 brachos a day by the times of Moshe, which is definitely strange. I don't know where he comes up with that, but it seems that they did 100 then, and he was trying to be mevatel those 100 brachos a day, but that's a very strange Malei Aroim. The Rabban says it was simple. Bilam wanted to connect to God. He wanted to have this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he realized that the Korbanos was the way to do so. He wanted HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only to be happy with him, but with Balak as well, which is why he got Balak so involved. He said, Balak, help me out. Build me the Mizbeach. Bring me the animals. So it was Bilam and Balak both working together. When he saw that it wasn't working, he thought to himself, maybe Balak's thoughts weren't entirely correct. And therefore, maybe it wasn't all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he suffered because of it. He was worried about that. But the Bar Mayim Chaim said, Bilam had tremendous reasons in this regard. He wanted to kill Klal Yisrael more than anybody else. So he put himself involved in this. He got himself involved and did everything he could to try to destroy everything that the Jews had set up for themselves. Says the Ramban, it came so close to working. So close. But luckily, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't go through. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says he did not tell anyone why he wanted the Korbanos. He kept it secret on purpose. He had no desire of anybody talking about this at all. There's a Netziv. The Netziv says the Jews were going into Eretz Canaan. How many nations were there in Eretz Canaan?
Seven
altogether, right?
Yeah.
The Girgashi ran away, but there were seven altogether. Seven altars were for the seven nations of Canaan. Each one of them representing going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says in Netziv, we only use one altar because we all have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's nothing else to it. But they needed seven so that Bilam could knock out or give strength to the seven gods of the Canaanim through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Netziv is a very unique take on this. And if anybody remembers the Netziv that we did about 6 months ago, there's an unbelievable Netziv that says, halachically speaking, non-Jews are not responsible for sacrificing to their guardian angel. We all know every nation has their own angel, right? The Netziv had an opinion, it was brought down, we brought other opinions for this, that although it's usher for us to sacrifice to an angel, or to do anything that has to do with angels, for non-Jews it's okay, because that's their representative before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if they want to sacrifice to them, knowing that there's a God on top, if they do that, then it's still mutter. That's crazy, isn't it? So says the Netziv, in their minds, this was a great honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're sacrificing to our gods who are going to give back to Hashem. They thought of it as something great. So when Bilam did this, he really thought this was a real thing. Seven nations, seven gods, seven altars for them to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For him, it was there. If Klal Yisrael would have done this, what would have happened? It would have been Avodah Zarah, and they would have been killed for it. But Klal Yisrael didn't do it. It was the other nations, and therefore, it was going to be considered allowed. Really crazy line. If you remember that in Netziv, it's a really good pickup from over there. But then you get into the Maamar Chazal. There are four other ways of looking at this, and this is what the Chizkuni says. There were seven Mizbechos that were made for us by our ancestors that stand as a schus for Klal Yisrael. Bilam was trying to erase that schus. Adam brought Korbanos after he left Gan Eden. That's in Chulin Daf Samach Amud Aleph. Hevel, brought a Korban right outside of Gan Eden. That's in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Dalet. Noach, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and of course Moshe. So you got Adam, Hevel, Noach, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe. All seven of them brought Mizbechos, brought Korbanos. And because of that, Bilam wanted to knock out that schus for Klal Yisrael. So therefore, he took it for himself. What were we going to ask?
So, if you want to say the Mizbechos from Avram.
Very good, because Avram was Jewish, so to speak, right?
Yeah,
but what about Adam, Hevel, and Noah?
Themselves.
Very, very good. Remember this. And was that you were going to ask, Mati? Yeah. It's an obvious question, right? Adam, Hevel, and Noach wanted to do it for anybody who was taking on the Avodah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the time, that could have been anybody. It could have been everyone. Everyone at the times of Adam Rishon had the ability, and even later, to be able to take on everything of Klal Yisrael for themselves. Only 20 generations later, when Avram got up and became that person that he became, did it get delegated or relegated only to his children so that they had it from that point on. But before that point, it could have gone to anybody. So therefore, Adam, Hevel, and Noah are still in the same direction of where Klal Yisrael was going, even though beforehand, they're technically the ancestors of Bilam as well.
Can't you argue that Bilam was also?
Yeah, for sure, he was. But since it wasn't in his kivun, it wasn't in his direction, therefore it didn't count for him. That's why he wanted to knock it out by doing this right now. Medrash Tanchum, by the way, takes out Hevel and puts in Aaron instead. But either way, that's the idea. He thought that that would represent those people of the world. The Tzura Mor says, he asked it. He said, Bilam said, why are you God over just the Jews? Why not be God over the seven nations and thus the 70 nations? According to a Maamar Chazal, each one of the seven nations, Kanani, Armori, Girgashi, etc., represented 10 nations outside of Eretz Canaan. So be the nation, you'll be the king over everyone. So Bilam was almost like pleading with God, why don't you do this in order to take on all of the world? You don't need just Klal Yisrael. So the seven idea was right there. The Alshich says, that's why he brought seven and a par and an aisle. It's because the 70 nations are represented by the parim on Sukkot. It's the 70 nations there. That was the idea behind it. It's an amazing Alshich, an amazing Torah Mor. But that was the conversation. He actually had a taina as to what he wanted. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says he knew it was difficult. That's why Elim, Parim the Elim, was written with two yuds. Aleph Yud Lamed Yud Mem. Because he knew that in order to knock out the schus of the aisle, that's obviously that aisle of Yitzchak, the Akedah's Yitzchak, he needed extra power, and that's exactly what he did. He did everything he could to knock out all of their power over here. But the truth is, we know, and Bilam should have known, this is never going to work. It's a mushel. And the Midrash brings down this mushel. A police officer approaches a merchant who's sitting in, you know, working in somewhere around there, and he says, you Russia, your weights are all off. I'm going to arrest you. I'm going to take your money away and give it back to all of your customers because you're stealing from all your customers. So the merchant turns to the police officer, right, and says, officer, there's a cow waiting for you in your house. You can go home. The cow is free. It's all for you. You can do anything you want with it. Obviously, the police officer is not going to take it. The police officer is saying, no, I've got to do my job. You're cheating everybody. Just because I get a part of it, it means nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to listen to Bilam trying to bribe him with a par and an eye or seven parim and seven alim. That's ridiculous. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at Bilam and said, you think this is going to work? This is how you're trying to get me? By bribing me? By giving me animals? It's such a... forgive me for saying it, an Avodah Zarah mentality. I was going to say a Goyish mentality, but it's not a Goyish mentality. It's an Avodah Zarah mentality that you can bribe God and get God to think like you just by doing a little bit. That's ridiculous. You can't do such a thing. And it all is represented by what Bilam said. Bilam said to God, what do you mean? As Shiva Mizbechos Harachti. I set up this seven Mizbechos. Harachti. I did it. Look what I did. Isn't that good enough? He put everything on himself. Whenever any of the Avos made a Mizbeach, they said, this is what God wants from me. But Bilam, Harachti, this is what I do. I'm involved with this. That's a problem. That doesn't work. Pardes Yosef says from the Zohar that this Pasuk is Chasser. Now, if you look in the Zohar itself, there's supposed to be, I don't know, I didn't check. There's supposed to be a dot, 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 where it's got something about Bilam, and then it stops, and it's blank, and then it goes on after it, as if something was taken out. So it's a weird Zohar. There's something missing from it. The Minchas Shmuel brings in his Hakdama in the introduction. He says that the reason for this is that Bilam tried to bring the seven Mizbechos kineged the seven Korbanos brought on Har HaMoriah itself. Adam Rishon brought his Korban on Har HaMoriah. Hevel brought his Korban on Har HaMoriah. Noach brought his Korban on Har HaMoriah. I didn't know that, by the way, that Noach went all the way to Har HaMoriah. I thought it was in Har HaRat. But it was that. And then Cain as well. Cain brought his korban, even if it was a bad one. So you got Adam, Cain, Hevel, Noah, all brought in Har HaMoriah. Obviously, Avram Avinu brought a korban in Har HaMoriah. That was the Akedas Yitzchak. If you could go through, Yitzchak, but was the korban in Har HaMoriah. And Yaakov Avinu brought a korban there as well, made him his back, something there, a matzeva, when he went with his dream, etc. Since Bilam was correct in his assessment, he was right. There were seven Mizbechos that were made in Har HaMoriah, and he wanted to go kineged them. The Zohar purposely left it blank because it was a praise of Bilam. Bilam understood what God wanted, and that we don't want to write down. So what the Zohar was going to say about Bilam that was a positive, it's purposely left blank. That's a really unbelievable call by the Minchas Shmuel, the reason why it's over here. Okay, then we get to Rashi. Rashi is our fourth pshat. Rashi is our fourth and last pshat, and Pasuk Dalet, he says the seven are connected to the seven altars, the seven Mizbechos, made by our Avos. Avram made four of them. It's in Sukim, it's in Perek Yud Beis Ches, Yud Gimel Yud Ches, Chav Beis Tes, as well as Yud Beis Zion. Yitzchak built one, Yaakov built two. The two made by Yaakov were in Lamed Hei Zion and Lamed Gimel Chav. The problem with all that, and it's an unbelievable Rashi, but there's a problem. There is a third Mizbeach seemingly made by Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu is going down to Mitzrayim after he finds out that Yosef is still alive, he's on his way down, and he brings korbanos l'Elokei Aviv Yitzchak to the God of his father Yitzchak, and Yaakov Avinu gets a dream that night, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and says, Yaakov, Yaakov. It's an unbelievable pasuk, Parak Mem Vav Pasuk Aleph. So the kasha on this Rashi is, you have four mizbechos made by Avram, one by Yitzchak, two by Yaakov, but there's a third. So if Bilam was really trying to go connected those seven, he should have brought an eighth. What happened to Parak Mem Vav? The Shemi Shmuel answers this question, and it's a brilliant answer. He says the following, and he says, it's something obvious. The Shekhinah is supposed to come down to our world. And if we felt the Shekhinah among us, none of us would be able to sin. The realization is that we don't feel the Shekhinah. We barely feel our neshama, what our neshama wants. We think, we know we have a neshama, but we don't feel anything. Says the Shemi Shmuel, our whole lives are trying to reach up and grab the Shekhinah and to bring them down, and sometimes we're able to do it and sometimes we're not. Our brachos are trying to bring Kiddusha down in the food that we eat. Our bracha achrona is thanking God for everything. It's again, trying to bring the Shekhinah down. Our lives are about trying to bring that Shekhinah down. But unfortunately, everything we do, which is a sin, pushes the Shekhinah back up. Adam Arishon sinned, and the Shekhinah went up to lower, went, I get up a bit, to -1. Cain and Hevel, it went to -2. And it kept going further and further back until the times of Avram Avinu, it was already a -7. It was so far gone, the Shekhinah didn't want to come back anymore. The Mabul happened, Dor HaFlugah happened, the people after that, Dor Enosh, etc. It wasn't easy for anybody. So it was as if they lost, and it went up to -7 to level 7 in the wrong way. Avram Avinu was able to bring it back. Yitzchak was able to bring it back. Yaakov was able to bring it back. And that's the four korbanos of Avram. The one korban of Yitzchak. The two korbanos of Yaakov. He was bringing them back down. By bringing those korbanos, they're lowering the Shekhinah. Now think about how this works and how these things are. Says the Shemi Shmuel, every tzaddik has the ability to bring the presence of the Shekhinah down. If anybody's seen a tzaddik that they're very impressed with, you see, it's as if the Shekhinah is glowing from their face. You know it's not the actual Shekhinah, but it feels that way. And since Moshe Rabbeinu got that karne hod, that shine that came from his face, every tzaddik has the ability to get that. It's there for them. Sometimes you can grab it and sometimes not. But the karne hod are there. There's something awesome there, says the Shemi Shmuel. Here's what he says. Korbanos. What are korbanos? Korbanos is to bring the physical up to the sublime. You have a korban, an animal, you're burning it up, you're bringing the animal up to Shemayim. That's not bringing the Shekhinah down. That's bringing the korban that you have up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, giving back. And that's why davening represents your korban. Because what's davening? Are we bringing the Shekhinah down by davening? No. By davening, we're bringing our words up. We're taking our mundane words and turning them into Kiddush and bringing them up. That's a korban. That's what a korban does. But making a mizbeach is different. Making a mizbeach brings the fire down. When you make a mizbeach and the fire comes down from the heavens, you're bringing the Shekhinah down low. See, here's the pshat. When the Avos brought korbanos, they were trying to bring their physical world into something more spiritual, trying to get themselves to become greater. When the Avos made mizbechos, when they made altars, they were trying to bring the Shekhinah down. Since the whole point over here of what they were doing was trying to bring the Shekhinah down, not to bring their physical up, but for trying to bring the Shekhinah down, Rashi mentions the seven places where the Avos made mizbechos or matzevos. Only the places where they were trying to bring the Shekhinah down. Because seven times they needed to do it, and seven times they brought the Shekhinah down. The eighth one, Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Aleph, does not mention a mizbeach. It says he brought korbanos, but it doesn't mention that he made a mizbeach. Because at that point, what he was doing is he was going to galus. And he was trying to show that the Shekhinah is not going to be down with us. We're going to be in galus. We're going to be in exile. That's not going to happen. What we need is to bring our physical up so that we can leave and bring the Shekhinah down again. That was the difference, says the Shemi Shmuel. So we mentioned seven times that the Avos did this, but there's an eighth. Says the Shemi Shmuel, isn't there an eighth? That eighth was not bringing the Shekhinah down and therefore was completely different. It was a completely different idea. That's why it's not mentioned. Brilliant. And since Bilam was trying to manipulate God by copying the Avos and what they did, so therefore he made Mizbechos. He didn't just want Korbanos. It wasn't about the Korban. It was about the Mizbeach. So he made the seven Mizbechos to copy the Avos to try to bring the Shekhinah down to him, That's what he wanted to do. He wasn't successful. But that was the idea, and it was a brilliant move of what he wanted to do. The Panim Yafos goes into seven Mizbechos that they had in that time themselves, which is brilliant in and of itself, all the Mizbechos they had. But then he says one of the most brilliant things I think I've ever heard in my life. That Shem Yishmo was amazing. This Panim Yafos takes the cake. This is one of the greatest ideas. I heard this before, because there's a medrash on this, and I say this every year on Sukkot when I'm in my sukkah. There's a rokeach that says, why do we celebrate Sukkot? Everybody says, Anani HaKavod, right? And Sukkos Mamish. That's the machlokas Rabbi Yoaz, Rabbi Yeshua. It's brought down in the Gemara and Sukkah. That's the famous machlokas. But there's another part to it. The rokeach says, and according to the tour, you have to know, Laman Yedu Dor Sechelim, why you're sitting in a sukkah. You have to know why. Says the rokeach, because the war against Sichon and Og took place over Sukkot. And while they were fighting against Og, they had booths, little huts. They were going out to the field in these huts. And when Og was throwing blisteros at them, when he was throwing missiles at them, like big rocks and whatever, their sukkos held up and did not crush them underneath. So the protective sukkos that they had in the war against Og is the reason why we celebrate Sukkot. That's the rokeach. Unbelievable, right? It's all from a medrash. And it's a little bit. The war against Sichon was during Elul. From Rosh Chodesh Elul until mid-Elul, that's when they fought against Sichon. Og fought against them on Tesvav Tishrei, that's Sukkot. And that's why we celebrate Sukkot. Says the Panim Yafos, Taflaz, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer. You know when Bilam and Balak tried to curse out Klal Yisrael? In between the war of Sichon and Og. Now, Rashi doesn't hold like this. Rashi says it was after Og. But according to this Panim Yafos, he came in between the two. What day did he come on? He came on the day when Bnei Yisrael was going to be judged. What day was that? Rosh Hashanah. Aleph Tishrei. He came in between when they fought against Sichon and Og. He didn't know, I guess, Og was preparing to fight. He wanted to curse them so that Og would destroy them. That Og would be able to destroy them, or at least Balak would be able to take over later on. And I know it goes against Rashi, because Rashi says they saw the defeat of Sichon and Og. I know. But says the Panim Yafos, it happened then. And he wanted the Yom HaDin on Rosh Hashanah. He tried to call out all the huge Averos that Klal Yisrael had done. He wanted to make sure that they would be destroyed because of that. And that's why, according to Tosos, he was going to say the word Kalem, destroy them, on that day. But it got turned around. Does anybody know where it got turned around? Says Tosfos, he wanted to say the word Kalem, destroy them. Kalem is spelled Chaf Lamed Mem. Says Tosfos, it didn't work. Instead, it was Truas Melech Bo. The Trua of the king was with them. It was Rosh Hashanah. So the Malchus that they had and their shofars that they were blowing turned the Kalem into Melech. Switched it around completely. That's what ended up happening for them. They brought a parva aisle. That's what Bilam brought, right? A parva aisle. That's the korbanos that we bring on Rosh Hashanah. We bring a par and an aisle. There's seven kvasim as well. There's a shach that explains why he didn't bring the seven kvasim. But there's a par and an aisle. It was on Rosh Hashanah. What he wanted, what Bilam's plan was, is take over Rosh Hashanah, use it to kill the Jews and destroy them. He didn't know they were blowing shofars every year in Rosh Hashanah, reminding themselves of the schus of Akedas Yitzchak, and therefore it didn't work. That's an unreal Panim Yafos, such a brilliant shot. But it does go against Rashi, because Rashi for sure says that it happened against the war after the wars of Sichon and Og, and they thought they were going to be able to do anything. The Shachan Yam Loez, they go global. I shouldn't even go global. They go interstellar, I guess you can call it. They say that the seven Mizbechos represented the Shiva Kochavei Lechas. The Shiva Kochavei Lechas are and the five planets, and the star and the moon. The sun, moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. The five planets that you can see with your naked eye. So they had all those seven. And as we know, those seven represent the days of the week. That's why we have 7 days of the week, because of the seven that appear in the sky. So for example, Sunday is the day where the sun comes out in the beginning of the day. Monday is where the moon appears earlier in the day. Does everybody get that idea? It's called Shetzem Chanchal. It's in three different places in Shas. So you can look it through, but it goes by certain constellations, and it goes by certain times when they're supposed to rule over the day. So each one has their own day. So Shetzem Chanchal stands for Shabsoi, which is Saturn, Tzedek, which is Jupiter, Madim is Mem, that's Shetzem, Chanchal is Chama, the sun, Nun is Noga, Kaf is Kochav, that's Mercury, and Lamed is Levana. But you guys all know, right? Sunday is the day of the sun. Monday is the day of the moon. Saturday is obviously what planet?
Saturn,
right? Thursday is Thor's day. Thor is Jupiter, right? Depending on your mythology. But Thor is Jupiter, so it's like that. And I never remember what Friday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, how they connect. I think Tuesday is Venus, but I can't remember the other ones. But each day represents one. Yeah. No, pretty sure not. But the Shacham Yamalei is going to that. They're the ones who put everything down over there. They say it's to the Kokhav Lechas over here. The Ibn Ezra says this is a massive secret that can only be understood by people that know Kabbalah very well. He does not explain the secret, classic Ibn Ezra style. The Avi Ezri goes into it a little bit, but he says they go into the number 7. Why did Bilam want the number 7? Because 7 is the number that the world works with. Has anybody ever wondered? Why is it that to my knowledge, and I might be wrong about this, I don't want someone to call me out on this from some African tribe somewhere that I've never heard of. Every single nation in the world has 7 days of the week. Every single one. There's no one else that has anything different. Rav Avigdor Miller uses that as a proof that everyone agrees the world was created in 7 days. That everyone agrees with it. Because why would you have 7 days of the week? Why 7 over anything else? Why would you choose 7? Why doesn't someone have a 10-day weekday? Some 10-day week. It's got to be we all came from one area. It's got to be all came from the same source that told us that there are 7. It's really an absolutely unbelievable piece from Rav Avigdor Miller, and he says it about 12 times throughout the Chumash where he goes through.
Maybe,
yeah.
What you just said. Maybe
because the 7, the shit. Yeah, so one could say, like, which one came first, the chicken or the egg? It could be because Shetzem Chanchal, those are the 7 that they saw in the sky, and the 7 that they represented with their own eyes. It very well could be. But it still is strange, right, that there's not one deviation, not one nation decided they're going to go somewhere different, that they're going to take something different. I mean, the Chinese are notoriously different in everything they do. Why in the world did they choose a 7-day work week? Exactly. Why wouldn't they? But again, I don't know of any. Maybe there is one. Maybe there's somebody out there that chose one, right, that took it out there. Yeah.
I know Russia tried to.
They tried to. The Russians tried to do everything. Does it ever work? Yeah, we're not dealing with that. But we see it throughout. And really, he says, because there are 7 days in the week, there are 7 years in a cycle, there are 7 cycle years within a yovel. The number 7 is so important for how the world goes through. The Maharal uses the number 7 quite often to connote something that's finished. You finish a week, you finish a year, you finish a whatever it is, each one by 7s. And I realize there's 30 days in a month, and there's 12 months in a year, etc. And that's for other reasons. But the idea behind 7 is that it's supposed to represent something. Therefore, Bilam chose 7. He felt that 7 was almost like a culmination, like you're finished with Klal Yisrael, start over with something different, as if it's going to be something totally new. And the Avi Ezri goes through it as well. There's no reason to go any further. He goes all the little things. You can check out that right over there. The Pardes Yosef says, sorry, I got a cold all week. My kid had hand, foot, and mouth disease. You ever hear of a kid that has that? Yeah, this one. No, my baby. It's only by babies and like really old people. So like they have hand, foot, and mouth disease. It's like the worst in the world. So like, no, we just haven't slept in like a full week. Like neither my wife and I. Yes, I got up once or twice with the baby in the middle of the night, and I'm very proud of myself for it. Not more than that, but I am very proud of it. That's that. But yes, this is a cesspool of disease right now. Shkever coming. I spit in all the junk. So either way, 3 times, the party says 3 times 14. He brought these korbanos, the 14 korbanos, you know, 7 and 7, 3 times. 14 times 3 is 42. Why 42? Sanhedrin Kofei Madbei says, in the schus of these 42 korbanos, he had a great-great-grandchild, Rus, and Rus ended up being his. He does not explain why it's 42. He just says, because of that, he had the schus of having Rus. In Horius, Yudalan Mabez, it says that because of this we learn, always do things shalo lishma. Mitoch shalo lishma, because you do something shalo lishma. Obviously, Bilam was doing the shalo lishma. He wanted to kill the Jews. Balishma. Eventually, you have a Rus, who gave birth to a Dovin HaMelech. Obviously, 3 generations later, who is Riveu LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shiras HaTishpachos. That's the idea, man, and that's what you can do over here. Tosafot tells us, even if he did it lekanter, he did it to argue, nonetheless, Bilam still was able to do something great with what he did for Klal Yisrael. Without a question.
That's wild.
Well, I don't want to say without a question. It's from Moab. It's from Moab, right? From Klal Yisrael. And it's really from Balak, right, that it came from.
So Bilam,
was Bilam involved in a way?
Is Bilam from Moab?
Bilam is not from Moab. Bilam was from Ben Baor, so he was from Aram. And it's possible that he was loving himself. So why he said no question is because if Bilam was Lavan, then he's certainly related because then we're dealing with Rachel and Leah. So yes, without a question, he's there. How they're all connected to one another, there's no question. I mean, if we go through, the Tiferes Yonason, Rabbi Yonason and Ipshus, and Tiferes Yonason says that Balak was a grandson or a son of Yisro. Yisro was a son of Midian. Remember when Yisro wanted to go back and Parshas Baloschal said, I want to go home and get my kids to come with? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, not a good idea, whatever it was. That was Balak. He wanted to bring back Balak. Why was Balak made king at that time? He was made king at that time because he grew up with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was his brother-in-law or his uncle. That's why they wanted Balak. Balak was the one who knew everything about him. And Yisro is a son of Midian. Midian is the son of Avram Avinu. So they're all related in some way, shape, or form. They're all related in some way. Yeah.
So that was Bilam ben Tzippor.
Ben-Baor. Balak ben Tzippor.
Yeah.
The reason why he's called Tzippor, right? And now Yisro, it could be his father's name with Tzippor. Remember what's Yisro's daughter's name?
Tzippora.
Tzippora, right? The word Tzippor, according to Rabbi Yonason Ipshitz, always connotes a ger. Because in Avram Avinu's Bris Ben Abasarim, he had the animals that were split in half and the birds were on the side. The birds represented the gerim that fly to Klal Yisrael. That's why they weren't split in half, because the gerim were there. So any name of any ger should be somehow a form of a bird. Like Yisro is Tur. Is it a pigeon? Tzippor is a bird. Tzippor may have been a reference to Yisro or Yisro's son. So that's the idea behind it. Yeah. What?
So his father converted, his sister converted. Why did he convert?
No, he didn't want to. Yeah, so, I mean, you have to have a reason for it. Like he's sitting there and he's like, "I'm good with my Shabbat mitzvahs b'nei Noach." You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to keep the 6 or 13.
About Bilam. Why did Bilam convert?
He knew. Yeah, Bilam knew everything in the world, right? Why in the world wouldn't he? Yeah, he was living a good life.
Like he knew that a level that he could be on as a Jew and a Navi.
Right, what he could be versus being a non-Jew. As a non-Jew, he'd have a much higher level and figure. But he figured it out. He knew. Yes, as a Jew, it would be awesome for him, but he couldn't do it. He had too many taivas. He could live as a non-Jew and give in to his taivas and whatever it is. I mean, remember, he was married to his donkey, so like...
Yeah, how's, like I don't know how he gets Nebuah if he's over on Arias.
That's a shadow. The Ben Ish Chai is an unbelievable piece in the Aderes Eliyahu on that, in the Od Yosef Chai, where it says he was Shesum Ma'ayin, he was blind in the eye. The only way that Bilam could get a Nebuah is if he had an aver of his body, a limb of his body that was perfect. He had no limbs of his body that were perfect, except his missing eye. So he was Shesuma Ayin. So says the Ben Ish Chai, brilliant. He says it wasn't a fully missing eye. It wasn't like a pirate where he's like, yarg, right, and anything like that. He had an eye there, but it was covered over with a film like a cataract, and it never saw anything tame his entire life. So it was perfect. And he was able to get the Nevuah on that aver, and therefore he was able to get a Nevuah perfectly. It's an amazing Ben Ish Chai, but that's the reason why, from that. But otherwise, he was an entirely tame person. It's a crazy idea. There's a Malbim over here. I'm skipping the Malbim. An awesome Malbim. To fully understand this Malbim, you have to go to, not his Rebbe, the Malbim never learned under him, but the Chassam Sofer is a little bit older. You got to see the Toras Moshe first, then look at the Malbim. You'll see beautiful peace between the two of them. But I got to end with this. In Sota, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, Rabbi Chanina is quoted as saying that these 42 Korbanos caused 42 children in Klal Yisrael to eventually die. When did those 42 children in Klal Yisrael die? By Elisha. Does everybody remember what happened? Elisha had just healed the waters. Elisha had healed the waters that were bitter, right? These 42 kids who were the water carriers for that town, they no longer had a job. So they cursed out Elisha. They said, Alei Kerach, get out of here, bald man, get out of here, bald man, which was an insult to Elisha. And Elisha turned to them, right? Davened, and two bears came out of the forest, ate the 42 kids. Now, again, two bears ate the 42 kids. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing right there. Right. Even so, they would have been Syrian brown bears. They're much smaller. Either way, regardless, they would have been there were 42 altogether that came out, ate them, and they were gone. So the Rush says, something's wrong over here. Well, where did this come from? So the Rush says the following. He heard. This is what he heard. He said, Shamati, says the Rush. There was a gezerah put out once Bilam brought 42 korbanos with Balak, that 42 Jewish men would die because of these 42 korbanos. It was a gezerah. It went out, 42 Jewish men had to die. Moshe Rabbeinu davened, shouldn't be at my time. Yoshua davened, it won't be in my time. Pinchas davened, won't be in my time. Eli HaKohen davened, won't be in my time. Shmuel and Avi davened, not in my time. David and Melech davened, not in my time. Eliyahu and Avi davened, not in my time. Elisha and Avi came and said, now, kill those 42 kids. And the two bears that came out of the forest were Gilgulim of Bilam and Balak. They were the ones that came out. That the Rush doesn't say. That's from the Seder Adars. each getting the Masorah from the one before them. It's unbelievable. He was so upset that he killed 42 kids with bears. He's like sitting there with like two bears in his back pocket, literally. Right? And he's sitting there and he's like, okay. And he kills 42 kids. Why? Because they called him bald? And that's it? Isn't that the strangest medrash you've ever heard? Why in the world would that be?
Like, just,
yeah, it's still insulting enough. You let a Kaddish Baruch Hu take care of you. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
oh, you're okay with that, yeah. Like, call out two bears. If I had two bears at my disposal that could kill 42 kids and that's it, that would be, I don't even know how it happened. I'm, like, picturing it in my head of, like, the two bears, like, running around, like, the 42 kids scattering. Or, and maybe it was just, like, you know, all 42 kids were, like, walking in the same direction and the bears just, like, mold them over, like, I don't know, bowled them. I have no idea.
Was it exactly 42 kids or were there more kids?
It says 42.
So I'm saying, maybe Yishnayim. Saw that 42 and then
yeah, maybe that's the reason why. Listen to this, Rebbe Yashiv. Rebbe Yashiv says this, and I'm going to have to say it quickly because I got 2 minutes altogether. Rebbe Yashiv says the following. What's the connection between these two events? He says, we know that the parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu among the other nations is Bilam. There's Moshe Rabbeinu and there's Bilam, right? But look at what kind of a person he was. We know who Moshe Rabbeinu was as a person, how great of a person, what he did as a person. He was an anav, he was a tzaddik, he did everything awesome. Bilam was a disgusting Baal Taiva who is represented Ayin Ra, Ruach Kvoa, and Nefesh Rechava in Pirkei Avos. He was the most disgusting person in the world. He didn't find that to be a stira. He didn't find it to be a stira. He decided, after everything was said and done, and God proved to him that you can't curse Klal Yisrael, he goes to Balak and he's like, hey, why don't you kill them through Znus? Dude, didn't you learn your lesson? I shouldn't say the word dude in this year, but I did. Didn't you learn your lesson? Bilam, how could you not learn your lesson? Don't you realize you're speaking to God? You realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to do anything, and he still goes out and does this? There's an unbelievable thing in the world, because he represented, this is who Bilam was as a person, do as I say, not as I do. That's what Bilam was as a person, and that's the type of person on the other hand. Our idea of the Torah should be that you become a person, that you do as I do, not just as I say. That's what it should be as a person. The problem is not with Bilam himself. Bilam is an individual, that's not the issue. The problem is the theories of Bilam got taken throughout Klal Yisrael as time went on. There took people that took on that way of thought, the thought process. Isn't it better if we make things this way for Klal Yisrael? Let's find ways of doing things where Klal Yisrael won't have as big of a problem. The ideas that Bilam represented of make it easier for me. I don't want to have a hard time. I want to be a Nefesh Rechava, Ruach Gevoa, and still talk to God. I want to be the person that I am and still have my relationship with God. So God, accept me for who I am. Just take me for who I am. I am who I am. I can't change God. Take me as this. That's the thought process of Bilam, and all of his Talmidim are like that as well. Here's the problem, and here's the issue with this. When the Midiani woman kept going in Klal Yisrael, Zimri pulls over Cusby and goes in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Moshe, I've got an idea here. I've got an idea. Let's marry the Midianite woman. You know why it'll be okay? Because if they go to the Midianite woman there, they're going to worship Avodah Zarah. If we marry them here, they won't worship Avodah Zarah. Won't that be better for Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu? Isn't that better? No, the thought process is, okay, I get it. Make it easier for them. If you bring the Midianite woman here, maybe they won't do that. Maybe you're right. But that's Bilam's thought process. That's a Talmud of Bilam. You ever wonder why Pinchas is broken up in the middle of Balak? Balak stops all of a sudden. The whole Parsha of Bilam and Balak stop, and then we're like, oh, and we also got Zimri and Cusby. Put that in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. Why is that here? Because Zimri was a Talmud of Bilam. Zimri and everything he stood for understood went with that. You want to make things easier for Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael. There are many people in Klal Yisrael that can't stand that they have to separate boys and girls together, boys and girls from one another. So why don't we mater mikvahs for women that are not married? That way they're not over any suri karis. Wouldn't that be easier? That's the thought process of Bilam. That's this thought process. Make it easier for us. We don't need anything that's hard. Let's just make it easier for us. Because I'm finding a hard time. I can't climb up there, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it easy. Now, again, those types of things take work. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we do make it easier for us in some way, shape, or form. But we have to remember, sometimes that's the Eitzah of Bilam. Sometimes it's Zimri. We have to be so careful with that. And Baruch Hashem, there are Gedolim who can make those types of decisions, when to make things easier and when not to. But that's so scary. That's so scary. What do you do in that case? These kids weren't really kids. Not 42 little kids. These were men who had jobs who were bringing in. The reason why they're called Ne'arim, little kids, is because they acted like little kids. They acted like little kids. They didn't have any mitzvahs with them. They didn't treat people with the proper respect. When they went up to Elisha, and they called him Alei Kareach, said Elisha, what it seems like to me is that these kids are Talmidim of Bilam. If I'm correct, then let the 42 children be them. If these are really the children of Bilam, they're Talmidim of Bilam, then the 42 korbanos that he brought should be able to destroy them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew they were. This wasn't Elisha sicking bears on people. That's crazy talk. That's crazy talk. You just had two bears holding in two arms. It is awesome. Having two polar bears with you at all times. That's not what he's doing. He understood there's a gezerah in Shemayim, the Talmidim of Bilam, have to be killed. If there's 42 of them. He saw the 42. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is it, this is it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle within a miracle, brought the bears, maybe even the forest where the bears were in, and gave them and destroyed the children. It's an unbelievable line. And it's the legacy of Bilam and Balak at work. That's really what it is. But it's a scary thought for us. It really is the Rebbe Yashiv's line of just be careful. Whenever there's something that becomes easier for Klal Yisrael, is that an Eitzah of Gedolim, of Tzadikim, of Rabbanim who get it, and they're saying this is what we have to do, or is it an Eitzah of Klal Yisrael? Can I give you a good one right before we leave? I asked this at a rabbinic conference that we had 2 years ago with Rav Yaakov Bender, and there were other rabbanim there, many, many rabbanim from the city especially, but from all around the Midwest, and we were sitting there together, and I said, why don't we teach people how to use cell phones? Why don't we teach people how to use smartphones? But people are having them anyway, so teach them how to use it well. Like, instead of just saying, don't have them, why don't we just say, have them, here's how you do it. And if we teach them at a younger age, maybe it'll be easier for them. I asked it as a kasha, I just wanted to know what they would say. And Reb Bender gave the answer, and his answer was, we can't matter that. Can't allow that. And I'm saying it in his, I'm not going to be quoting the exact words, and he said it beautifully when he was talking to all of us. But he said, we can't matter that. We know what we have to do, and we know that it has to be a b'dyavad. I don't know how to work this through, and listen, I don't think anybody does. If anybody did, they'd be geniuses, and they'd be the leader of the free world. Nobody really knows how to do this. But do you get the idea? What my idea was stemming from was, let's make it easier for ourselves and give people more access. And that way, they'll be able to control it for themselves. And in a way, that sounds great. It really sounds good. In my mind, it sounded really good. But I get the idea. The idea is that that might be my Yetzer Hara work, just saying, but I just want everybody to have WhatsApp. Wouldn't that make it easier for everybody? Then I could share pictures with everyone. I get that. I totally get that. Is it the right thing or the wrong thing? I don't know. I can't make that decision. That's for a huge, huge rabbanim to make. But that's where, in all of our lives, we have to start thinking to ourselves, is it Bilam at work, or is this Moshe Rabbeinu at work? Which one is it? And sometimes it's Moshe, and it's awesome. But sometimes it's Bilam, and it's not. So be careful with it. We'll stop with this, everybody. Have a great show.